Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, first this morning, public sector unions have put the government on notice that they will begin preparations for strike action within 3 days, so 3 days from now, unless talks to agree a new national pay agreement take place. Building momentum was the previous pay deal that expired at the end of December. Fresh talks failed to reach a deal in recent weeks. Well, Kevin Callanan is Forza General Secretary and is leading the talks as chair of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions Public Services Committee. And Kevin is here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. So we have the prospect then of industrial action. That's a really big threat given where we're at in the electoral cycle. And I presume you don't make it lightly, but you haven't even spoken about pay yet in these talks that happened before Christmas. So explain to us why you're making the threat now.
Well, Claire, we're in a really unique situation over the last 40 years in that as of the 31st of December, the current public service pay deal expired. And with the exception of a period right in the middle of the financial crash in 2009-2010, that it hasn't happened over the last 40 years. And the reason why we've taken the step, and when we met on the Wednesday before Christmas, you know, we took this step, was to say to the government that it's just not acceptable that we haven't got arrangements in place in relation to pay. Going back to last summer, we expressed a strong view to the officials on the government side that we should try and conclude a deal in October. That would have allowed time for that to be considered by members of the various unions and balloted upon. That didn't happen. We didn't actually get into the discussions until much later than that. And by the Tuesday evening before Christmas, it was clear to us, well, the government side had made it clear that they didn't see a deal being negotiated before Christmas.
Okay. So here you are now, and you're going to have this meeting on Thursday, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I was just looking at inflation figures. So if you look at inflation for November, it's the lowest that it has been for 25 months. And it's always very difficult to try and guess motivation on anyone's part. But would you agree that it's possible that the government might have just wanted to wait you out on this, to look at inflation falling so that the ask might be a little less?
That's possible. I don't really know what's going on in the mind of government. And actually, a big part of this is we have no clue whatsoever as to what they have in mind in relation to pay. Obviously, initially, it was a question of whether or not we were going to do a short-term deal, say for perhaps 6 months or a year. But it's now, as a result of their agreement to repeal the remaining FEMPI legislation, that for your listeners, that's the Financial Emergency mm-hmm. Measures in the Public Interest legislation that dates back to 2009. We are trying to negotiate a multi-annual deal along the lines of the kind of agreements that we've had over the last 40 years. The truth of the matter is, over the previous 3 years, the 3 years of building momentum, most people got pay increases in the order of 9.5%, most public servants.
Over the entire period of the agreement.
But that is roughly one half of the total rate of inflation. It depends how you measure it. You could measure it by CPI or the harmonised index. So it's roughly around half of that. Now, the government will say, and this is a reasonable point, that they have taken other measures across the economy to ameliorate the effects of inflation, but it's nothing. It wouldn't come anywhere near that. So we've been saying, look, there needs to be some compensation for the shortfall in the last couple of years.
So retrospective deal on inflation.
Well, we're saying that there certainly has to be, that has to be taken into account, as well as projections for prices over the coming period. And then, you know, we heard the Taoiseach yesterday on News at One talk about the fact that it was very unlikely that in the next budget that the energy credits, for instance, would be maintained. So that then raises issues in relation to, you know, pay in 2025 and so on.
Okay, this is very important for taxpayers because each 1% in this deal will cost 250 million euro. It's not insignificant, the cost element of it.
Of course it's not insignificant. And when you take into fact, it's nearly 400,000 public servants directly affected, plus maybe another scores of thousands of public servants in retirement who are depending. And let's remember them for a minute, Claire. I mean, they're people who rely, in many cases, exclusively on their public service pension, and they have had no adjustment, unlike, absolutely correctly, people who get the state social welfare pension have had increases, and that is.
But we have heard, haven't we, in the last couple of days, that the public sector pension bill has increased by 17% in the last 3 years.
We have, mainly because of the increased number of pensioners. So it is a cost, but back in 2013, this was anticipated, and the new single public service pension scheme will over time reduce the cost of that. But getting back to your point about every additional 1% increase costing 250 million. Uniquely, the government as an employer is in a very solitary situation in that they don't actually, for every 1%, they don't have to expend that because the money never leaves their employers, the government coffers because of, tax, because of USC, because of PRSI, because of pension contributions and so on. So the government as an employer is in a special position in relation to...
So what, you're arguing that the money is circular for the state?
Well, we've heard even the Taoiseach and other government figures talk about the importance of pay this year increasing so that people can make good the effects of the cost of living. So it seems to us that it is, as an employer, government as an employer,
but
has
I don't know what percentage increase you're looking at, but in the private sector, it's estimated to be at around 4% if you're looking at what might happen in 2024. Now, I'd imagine that's not the figure that you see being agreed.
Well, we're looking at inflation close to that. I know some of the reports over the weekend have talked about inflation at 3% next year. I think it's closer to 4%. Obviously, we will be looking as part of any deal to compensate for that. But the real prize here is if you think about what the government gets in terms of stability, cost certainty and industrial peace, is to try and negotiate a deal that works for everyone over a multi-year period.
Okay. The prospect of this ballot that you're talking about and the process would start on Thursday. Now, Pascal Donoghue has said that he will not be influenced by any threat of a ballot or industrial action. Do you feel that he's goading you in a way? Because he's saying to you, look, go on, have your vote, have your ballot, make your decision. It's not going to make any difference to my position.
Well, I really don't know. I think he has said that he was keen for an agreement, that he thought talks would get underway this week, though as I sit here, we haven't been contacted by the Workplace Relations Commission in terms of an arrangement to resume the talks, so I take that at face value. I think that what listeners need to understand is the situation we're in now will gain its own momentum. Obviously, we're going to, on Thursday, if necessary, we'll finalise the arrangements for ballots by the various individual unions. They'll take place over the next few weeks. But in addition to that, because we're out of an agreement, groups of workers or unions are now free to lodge, to formulate and lodge their own claims. So this is going to result in a change dynamic. And that's why the next 48 hours are absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. Would you not, though, have looked at strike action back in November? Was that not the time to do it? Because at that point, inflation was much higher.
But I think, Claire, if we had done that, we would have been accused of being preemptive. We'd have been accused of, upping the ante and not being reasonable. What we've tried to do, and we were in preliminary talks with the officials of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform going back to April of last year. What we tried to do was to set the grounds. When we met as a public service committee on the 27th of September, we said that there were four elements of an agreement. First and top of the list was the cost of living and the effect of that. But secondly, we needed to normalise industrial relations in the public service by repealing the remaining elements of FEMPI. We wanted to stabilise an agreement if it was to be over a few years, by having a local bargaining element so that issues affecting individual grades, groups and categories could be dealt with, because they haven't been able to be dealt with over the last 20 years. And finally, we said we had issues that we wanted to put to them in relation to future-proofing public services, because we're genuinely concerned about, the difficulties.
Well, from what I read, that was a last-minute addition.
No, we had made that clear, and we more or less put that those issues on the table at the same time that we got the detail from the management side as to what they had in mind.
When was that, in September?
No, in December.
But
we had made it clear back in September that this is what we were going to do. And I see even in yesterday's Sunday Business Post, the developer Pascal Taggart talking about, you know, the need to provide accommodation for key workers, particularly in Dublin. Now, I don't agree with his idea of using public parks to do it, but he's right in calling out a real problem that we have. You know, so there are a lot of issues like that that we wanted to see an agreement about being an effective way to protect public services into the future.
All right, we'll leave it there, but no doubt we're going to hear more about this in the week and weeks ahead. Kevin Callanan, thank you for coming in. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.